I remember teaching freshman religion, and I had to have one of those parent-teacher conferences. And a mother came to me about her daughter who had a very poor grade. She had failed religion. And then she said to me, "How could anyone fail religion? There are no wrong answers. It's just what you think." So I said, "Well," I said, "you know, your child failed religion because she gave the wrong answers, that there are right and wrong answers in our faith." I sort of took her by surprise, like, "What are you talking about? It's just what we all think." And I really couldn't blame her because she's a product of our culture that believes whatever I believe to be true is okay for me, and what you believe to be true for you is okay for you. In other words, there really is no real truth outside ourselves that we should believe. It's all about my opinion and your opinion. And I believe what I want, and you believe what you want. But Robert Bella wrote a book called Habits of the Heart. And he interviewed a woman named Sheila about her practice of religion. She said that faith for her was a safe, internal, spiritual comfort zone. That's what she described faith. She said that she was her own little church, and that her religion was called Sheilaism. You know, so she picked from the things she liked, and she believes what she wants. And she sets her priorities and values and wants, beliefs, and needs. And then she said that her religion is named after her because she said there is no authority or no truth outside herself. So then she said, "We have Catholicism and Johnism and Maryism and Tomism and Deniseism and Pamism and Jackism and so on." And so in faith, we have what is right for me, making ourselves the center of the last word. And she said, and that is now called Sheilaism. You know, it's no longer about God's will, about God's word, the truth offered by Christ, the challenge to believe, to take up your cross and follow Christ, to study his word and come to know his will in our lives. Instead, it's about kind of molding a God that fits me. And that is so foreign for Christianity. In today's gospel, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples say, "John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And these are the wrong answers. And Jesus doesn't say that that's okay for them to believe that if that's what they think. You know, they're close, almost right. No, he asks then to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And then Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. You are correct. That's the right answer. You got that answer from God. That is true." If that would happen today, we would hear things maybe, well, what makes you so right, Jesus, right? He might be the Son of God for you, but he's not the Son of God for me. Don't tell me what to believe. And this is hard for us today because we believe that no one should tell us that we are wrong or right, and maybe sometimes not even God tell us that. But for Catholics, for you and me, God is the one who is right. He's the wise one. He's the one who has revealed himself and the truth to us. And Jesus says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And in the second reading that was read, St. Paul said, "Oh, the depths and the richness and the wisdom and the knowledge of God." So it's important to find out what God has to say about something, to study it, and form our lives on God's holy word. And so we look to the scriptures and to tradition because we believe that God has revealed himself, revealed his truth to us. And God's teaching is not just one opinion among many, but for a Christian, it's the truth. It's what we want to live by. And in this way, we're not just fooling ourselves into making God what we want him to be, but we are becoming who God wants us to be. That's very important for us who know who Christ is, who study what he said, spend time feeding our minds and our souls with his holy word, learning our faith. So who do people say Jesus is? For some people, he's a nice guy. He taught people how to be nice. Or he's someone who said a lot of things that are really old-fashioned and out of date. Or he told us his opinions about God. But for the true Christian, he's the Christ, as Peter said. He's the Son of the living God, the second person of the Trinity, God who became human, who taught us timeless things about how to be the human beings God made us to be, who died on the cross to show us what real love is, that kind of sacrificial love, and called us to a life of purity, integrity, selflessness, and humility, a call of holiness, so that one day we would be with him in heaven. For us, that's the truth that we are called to live by and to shape and form our lives. That's the correct answer. See, in today's gospel, we hear Jesus praise Peter because he gave the right answer to Jesus' question about who he is. May we continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus, you know, so that we too can give the correct answer when Jesus asks us, "So who do you say that I am?" Because what he asks Peter, and what he ever asks anybody in the Gospels, he also asks each one of us. And there were a lot of answers to that question. Even 2,000 years later, that question is still asked. And as much as people try to get rid of this Jesus question, it keeps coming back. The question's never gone away. And that itself is kind of a pretty amazing thing, don't you think? And that at some stage, maybe in our lives, we are asked that same question. If you haven't already been asked it, one day, hopefully, you will hear Christ ask you that very same question. Who do you say that I am? Who am I? Hear Jesus ask you that question in the depths of your heart today, as the gospel is proclaimed around the world. What would you answer him? Who do you say that Jesus is? What have you told your children, your friends, about who Jesus is? And in the silence of your hearts, how would you answer that question to him?